53rd chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Who has believed what they heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? They made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. He shall bear their iniquities. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our gospel reading is from the gospel according to St. John, the 18th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. And Jesus said to them, "I am he." They drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken. "Those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." And Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Text is based on your gospel lesson. I'd like to reread a small portion of it. "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. And Jesus said to them, "I am he." They drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This is our text. As I pointed out last week and other times when reading from the Gospel of John, it is a unique account of the life of Jesus. Prior to the week of our Lord's Passion, when you compare the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, 60 to 70% of all the material that they have, you can find sometimes word for word in the other gospels. Prior to the week of the Lord's Passion, when you read through the Gospel of John, about 90% of the material you can't find in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And even when, for instance, during the week of the Lord's Passion, you find material that's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or at least subject material, John will leave out so many details that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record. And then he'll add interesting details that Matthew, Mark, or Luke never mentioned. Such is the case at the arrest Jesus. If you read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and let's say you were an unbeliever reading it, you might think that Jesus really had no control over events that were happening. You'd see him only as a victim, dragged away at the Garden of Gethsemane, paraded before Pilate, Herod, beaten, scourged, and then helplessly nailed to a cross and left hanging there until he died. Seemingly powerless to stop any of it. But John gives us a pretty good clue that Jesus wasn't powerless. When they come to arrest Jesus, Jesus actually approaches them. "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he," which are far more powerful words than you might presume, only knowing the English. You might recall, maybe from your Sunday school days, or hopefully you're still reading through the Old Testament occasionally, that when God came to Moses, Moses asked God, "If I go to the people of Israel and they ask who sent me, who should I say sent me?" God said, tell them, I am sent you. Well, the proper name in the Old Testament that God ends up having, it's not I am who I am, which is what God said to Moses. Because when Moses repeats it, he doesn't say, I am who I am. He says, he is who he is, the name Yahweh. But when God speaks it, it's, I am who I am. And a couple thousand years ago, when that was translated into Greek, it was translated with two Greek words, ego, which means I, and amen, which means I am. So here's your Greek lesson for today. Let's all say ego eimi together. What? Ego eimi. Nothing to do with a breakfast meal, ego. Sorry about that. Ego eimi. I am. That was God's name. And that particular formulation, ego eimi, you only find a couple of times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And at very specific spots when God seems to be identifying himself. But more than pretty much, they avoid using that formulation. Not so the Gospel of John. Ego eimi is scattered throughout the gospel and at very interesting moments. Quite frequently when Jesus would use that formulation, the Jews would pick up rocks to throw at him because they understood specifically what Jesus was saying about himself. He was claiming that he was God. And so when you get to John 18, verse 5, and a few verses later to verse 8. Whom do you seek? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. I'm not sure Roman soldiers got the wording. I'm absolutely positive any Jews that were there got it. But I do know that even though the Roman soldiers may not have gotten the meaning, they got the message. It may have looked like Jesus was out of control, but he was completely in charge of the situation. With those words, immediately all the soldiers and Judas fall to the ground in unison. From his conception in a womb until the moment he cries out and is finished, God was in control of the situation. But not to prove that who he was, if you will, in charge, though he certainly wanted people at various times to understand that. While Jesus could have stopped everything in its tracks right then and there, he didn't. Because he wasn't there simply to protect his power, his might, his ability to push literally people around. He was there to suffer and die. He was there to submit to the control of others. He was there to submit himself even to death. But the control that the world has over us might be released. That in his submission, his willingness to be out of control,
we might gain our freedom from sin, from death, from the power of the devil. The freedom to set a new course in life. One not destined for destruction. One destined for eternal joy, peace. And at this critical moment in time in the life of Jesus, when he does do this, when he does display his power and absolute control over the situation, we have to ask, well, why does he do it at this moment in time? And John gives the answer. When he does display his power and his ability to control all things, it is still for the sake of his people. You read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you get the idea that when Jesus is arrested, they just sort of left everybody else alone. They weren't worried about the disciples. And they just scattered in fear, which is what they did do. And why wouldn't they want to arrest not only Jesus, but also his 12 chosen apostles as well? To me, that sort of makes sense. But they don't. Why not? Because Jesus was in charge of the situation. Even going to the cross to be crucified, he was concerned for those around him. And for but a brief but very powerful moment, he demonstrates his absolute power and control over the situation. He says, so if you seek me, let these men go. Now, I don't know about you, but if I just saw a whole company of soldiers knocked down with one word, and somebody says, let these guys go, I'd do it. And they did. Sometimes our own lives seem to be out of control. The world seems to be having its way with us. Forces seem to be aligned against us. And during those times, we sometimes wonder ourselves, is God really in control? And perhaps, you know, if he is in control, does he have something against me? Or have I slipped through the cracks? Or am I just not important enough to him that he would worry about me and my circumstances? Jesus in the garden wants to reassure not only his disciples back then, but us today. No matter how out of control not only the world seems to be, but when we start to think that maybe even God has lost control, is not. We don't always understand his plans and his purposes. But because Christ was willing to go to the cross for us, we can't doubt how much he loves us. And when we watch him with just a word disarm an army arrayed against him, we realize that there is no foe that can stand against him, nor do to his own people what he's not willing to allow for his own plans, his own purposes, but realizing that his plans and his purposes for us are ever and always good. A goal, a me. I myself am. With those words, Christ declared himself to be a God willing to be out of control for our sake. Not to prove his power and his might, but to show once again his willingness to protect, to save those whom he loves. That's why he went to the cross. When he ponders the situations that we encounter in life, that's how he still thinks. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.